Are you thinking about starting a podcast but don't know where to start? Let me take a second to tell you about Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast across a plethora of listening platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all the big ones. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. And best of all, completely free. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, do yourself a favor and check out anchor.fm or download the app to get started.
Hey everyone, if you're enjoying Inquiries of Our Reality, do me a favor and drop me a review or rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, come join the Discord or Telegram groups for the show. If you haven't already, don't forget to follow me across social media to stay updated on the show. If you'd like to support the show, you can subscribe to my Patreon for just $5 a month, where you will receive early access to Inquiries of Our Reality, Big Dumb Inquiries, and Bizarre Encounters. You can also support the show by donating on Anchor or Ko-fi, which will help me upgrade equipment and hopefully eventually do this full time so I can put out even more awesome content for you guys. If you guys want some t-shirts or other awesome merchandise for Inquiries of Our Reality, Big Dumb Inquiries, or Bizarre Encounters, stop by my Teespring store and get yourself something nice. If you're a creator or a listener, come check out Open Minds Media. We have an awesome community of great people who would love to meet you. From our featured creator podcast feed, to chat rooms, to even help questions, this is the place for you. For more information on the community, the podcast feed, and to stay updated on all the new things coming, check us out on social media, and all their links are available on our link tree. And last but not least, if anyone is interested in being a guest on the show, sponsoring the show, has a topic they want covered on the show, or you feel you can contribute to the show in any way, shape, or form, shoot me a message on social media or feel free to email me at inquiriesofourrealitypodcast@outlook.com. All the links I mentioned are in the show description. Just tap or click the Linktree link to be directed. Or remember, linktr.ee/inquiriesofourrealitypodcast. Thank you so much, everyone. I appreciate all of you, and I couldn't be doing this without your support. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Inquiries of Our Reality with Shane Jones.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 60th episode of Inquiries of Our Reality. Today with me, I have Vincent Field. He is the author of Astral Projection and Lucid Dreaming, Spiritual Revelations and Out-of-Body Experiences in Higher Dimensions, a complete guide to the exploring non-physical reality. How's it going today, man?
I'm doing well, thanks. How you doing?
Not too bad. So I guess to start off, a good point to get everything rolling. I know this is a very complicated concept, as we were talking about before the show, so we don't lose anybody right off the beginning. Why don't we start at like a good starting point where like we go from the beginning of your experiences and kind of build up from there.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. So I started having paranormal experiences when I was 14 years old. So when I was 14, I started practicing astral projection. And this opened me up to all kinds of paranormal encounters. I was regularly having experiences with shadow beings, aliens, ghosts, malicious spirits, higher level spiritual entities, deceased relatives, the higher self. You know, I can go on. There were a lot of really frightening encounters. And, there are even more incredible experiences, like really profound transformational experiences. And, you know, what's interesting about astral projection is it allows you to directly experience the paranormal and, you know, and spiritual realities because, you know, you're entering this territory. You're entering the territory of the paranormal and, you know, the spiritual. And, it might be frightening to some, but for me, I was always very curious and, you know, open-minded, and I just wanted to explore and see what was out there, you know, discover the true nature of reality and the true nature of who I am, what this life is about. And
do you think it partly goes off of intention too, of course, and the aspect of like, if you go into it not being scared, you're not going to get things that might scare you. Or if you go into it being scared, you're kind of bringing like a negative energy towards you where there might be more things that scare you on that other side of seeing things.
Yeah, definitely. Cause you know, your thoughts and your beliefs and your intentions, they kind of shape, you know, your state of consciousness and your energy and, you know, your energetic frequency. And so, yeah, if that is attuned to this low state of fear, then when you have an out of body experience, you're going to naturally project into a dimension that matches your own state of consciousness. So yeah, that's definitely something that happens.
So I guess just having like that curious mindset, like you were saying, going into it too, that probably helped you out as far as like getting further into it and not being scared away by it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And, you know, when I first started, there wasn't a lot of information available at the time. Like most of the stuff that I learned was from the internet. And, you know, back in the year 2000, information was really limited. You know, it was like the early days of the internet. And so, you know, I didn't know much about it. I learned about this concept, out-of-body experiences. I found a method. And I tried it, and within a week, I was able to leave my body. And
what was this method, if you don't mind me asking before you continue?
Well, the essence of this method was to induce a particular state in which your body is asleep and your mind is awake. So typically, you do a type of meditation in which your body is relaxed and falls asleep. And at the same time, you keep your mind awake. And so, you know, in the beginning, I did this at night before bed. And, you know, it took a while. It would take up to an hour from the moment I started the method until the moment I was projecting from my body. But soon after this, I learned another method, which was much more effective, way faster. And you do this method in the early morning. And it's the same concept, you know, you get your body to fall asleep while your mind remains awake. But in the early morning, your body and mind are already in the ideal state to project from the body. Because let's say after 5 or 6 hours of sleep, well, it's pretty easy to fall back asleep. Your body is already very relaxed. So your body's in that good state. But also your mind has already gotten a decent amount of rest. So, you know, as opposed to at night where your mind is tired, you know, in the early morning, it's pretty well rested. So you're able to achieve the out-of-body experience much faster.
Is it a matter of too, of just not falling asleep in the process where like, you know, later at night in the process of you trying to do that, you might fall asleep completely?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of times you'll just fall asleep, or sometimes you'll just be so exhausted, you'll just give up and you'll end the meditation and just turn around and fall asleep.
Gotcha. So, continuing on with your story too, you said you're working on, you figured out this newer method where it's a little bit faster.
Yeah, right. The method is essentially to wake up a couple hours before you usually wake up. And, you know, it's not an exact science, but the method I first learned instructed to stay awake for up to an hour and then go back to bed. And then you do an affirmation meditation in which you focus on your third eye. It's an energy center, a chakra, the third eye chakra. And you focus on this energy center between the eyebrows. And you repeat affirmations, typically, you know, designed to achieve this state. So maybe the affirmations will be, my body is asleep, my mind is awake, or I'm consciously leaving my body, something like that. And you repeat these affirmations with the intention of them being absorbed into your third eye chakra because it's said that the third eye is essentially a link to the subconscious mind. And so what you want to do is you want to program your subconscious mind to achieve this state. And typically you'll repeat these affirmations until either you achieve this state or until you fall asleep. And the kicker is that if you do fall asleep, a lot of times the subconscious programming that you did with the affirmations will have worked, and it will trigger the conscious out-of-body experience. And so it's almost like a win-win. Either, you know, you have that projection directly, or you program the subconscious mind to induce lucidity as you were leaving the body.
So having these types of experiences, what kind of places did you start seeing doing this? Did it start off with just kind of like small local places and then you kind of built up to other things? Or did you just start seeing different places that you couldn't quite explain right off the bat doing this process?
Well, let me explain the nature of these astral dimensions, you know, these other dimensions of reality that you experience during out-of-body experiences. Essentially, reality exists as an entire spectrum of different dimensions that resonate at different frequencies. And, you know, it's similar to how there are different frequencies of light, and we only perceive like a limited range of these frequencies. And, you know, the rest of the light spectrum, like infrared and X-ray, they're invisible to us, you know, but they still exist. And so in the same way, these higher dimensions, the astral dimensions, they still exist. We just don't perceive them while we're grounded in the physical body. So when you have an out-of-body experience, your consciousness projects into these higher dimensions. And like I said, they exist in a spectrum. You can say from low to high. So like on the low end are the dimensions that are just slightly higher than the physical dimension. And on the high end, well, you basically get progressively higher from there. And, you know, by higher, it doesn't mean like, you know, a level on like a vertical, you know, scale, but it's more like the rate of the frequency of the energetic vibrations of that level, of that realm, of that dimension. And so as this energy gets higher and higher, you experience higher and higher dimensions of reality. So the lower dimensions typically look sometimes almost identical to the physical world. But as you get higher into the dimensional spectrum, reality starts to become really different from the physical world. And, you know, things become a lot more unique and abstract. And, you know, in the higher levels, there aren't even words to accurately describe what it's like, because it's so different from what we're used to here in this physical dimension. So typically in the beginning of your practice, you will project into these lower dimensions. So typically the environment looks a lot like the physical world. And, you know, throughout practice and development and experience, you begin to access higher and higher dimensions. But, you know, that can take months, years. So yeah, in the beginning, typically the environment that I experienced after leaving my body looked just like, you know, my room. I would be in my room. I would fly out of the window, and the neighborhood would look pretty much the same. And yeah.
Now, do you think that there's an association between these different frequency levels and like psychedelics, for example? Because from the way you're describing it, and, you know, coming from somebody that's used psychedelics, you kind of feel like a vibration as it continues through. And, you know, when you're doing like the lighter psychedelics, it's like things are pretty close to how they should be, but they're slightly different. And then when you get into like the heavier psychedelics, like DMT, it's like you get thrown into a whole other dimension. Is it almost like a possible glimpse because of you possibly,
you know, connecting with the same vibration where you can kind of start seeing a glimpse into these higher dimensions? Like, do you think there's a connection between that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think some of these drugs can allow you to experience other dimensions of reality, other, you know, valid, real dimensions of reality. So, you know, I don't think all, you know, trips, DMT, mushrooms, ayahuasca, I don't think they're all just hallucinations, you know, in your mind. I think it is possible to access other levels of reality. And yeah, I think what you said makes sense.
See, and it's kind of interesting too, because I know doing some research on mushrooms in particular, that when you're on mushrooms, there's actually less brain activity when you would assume that there's more brain activity. So that in a way kind of shows that it could possibly be almost like an antenna, that the things that you're seeing aren't things that you're creating in your mind, but things that are, like we were saying, are kind of a glimpsing into the next level up, for example.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, continuing on, what are some of the places that you've seen and experienced?
Where do I start?
This is the nitty gritty. This is stuff that I'm super interested in.
Sure. Like I said, in the beginning, the environment pretty much looked like the physical world. Now the most, interesting thing about my early experiences, was not where I went, but who I encountered. From the very beginning, I think my second experience, I encountered a shadow being or a shadow person. I lifted from my body, and there was this huge shadow being right next to me. It was like this big, dark silhouette, probably over 7 feet tall. It was huge. And it was just terrifying, because the thing is, like, at that time, like I said, I didn't know much about what to expect, because I didn't do a lot of research. I didn't have a lot of information to access at that time. And so I didn't expect this. It was just there in front of me. And, you know, I freaked out. Now, had I known that these entities existed before, maybe I would have been a little prepared for it. But, you know, I was terrified and I snapped back into my body, because what happens is there's a type of reflex that triggers when you experience like a heightened state of fear while you're out of your body, and you automatically re-enter your body.
Like a fight or flight kind of response almost.
Yeah, exactly. And I left my body again. It's very common to have back-to-back projections. And so I immediately lifted out of my body again, and this shadow being was still there. Like, it hadn't moved. It was still in the same exact place. And I just had enough. I said, I'm good for today. I went back to my body. And so over the next couple years, probably, I would encounter these shadow beings pretty frequently, typically immediately after leaving my body. And, you know, eventually I learned that if I just ignored them, then I was able to, you know, either leave that area, or eventually I was able to actually shift into a higher dimension in which they don't exist and they would be gone. And so, like, in that case, I wouldn't actually like fly out of the window or fly through the roof, you know, leave that particular area, but I would shift into another dimension, still in the same space, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I basically learned to, you know, control my fear, because they never actually hurt me, you know. And I realized that after a while, like, they don't actually hurt me. So, you know, let me stop with this fear bullshit. And, you know, eventually I began to completely bypass this lower dimension where they exist. And I just stopped encountering them altogether. But yeah, typically they exist in the lowest dimension. And, you know, it's common to see them during like sleep paralysis. And some people even say they see them you know, during normal waking consciousness, you know, in the real world. Maybe that's the type of like bleed over of dimensions, because like where they exist in my experience is very close to the physical dimension. It's like just slightly higher than the physical dimension.
That's what I was about to ask, because if you think it's something that's above or below. Now, like, I've had experiences with shadow people, and my best idea of like what I think they may be is there's like a dimension, I guess you could say, that's like the void. And I kind of have this idea that they might be like the things that live within that void dimension. But I guess coming from your own experiences and your own research, just because I love this topic, like, what do you believe that shadow people are, or like, where do they come from, or like, what do you think their purpose might be?
That's a good question. You know, there is one idea that they are typically a manifestation of your fears, right? But I mean, just the fact that I went into my experience without this fear and without any expectation of encountering them, and they were still there, you know, I think that negates that theory. In general, it's possible that some encounters with entities like this are a manifestation of the subconscious mind, but you know, in my experience, these are like valid independent entities. And I've actually had experiences with these shadow people in higher dimensions, and I've had incredible experiences with them, believe it or not. And
do they and so look the same in these like higher dimensions, or is it one of those things? I've heard people say theories where it's like they don't actually look like a shadow, but like we, even in higher dimensions, can't like perceive what they look like, so we like basically just turn them into a black shadow ourselves.
They did look the same, and like you said, you know, I've theorized this before as well, that you know, perhaps we're just not able to perceive their true form, and so like this is how we see them, and just a big black blob shadow. But
maybe we're not capable of like picking up the colors they give off. Like maybe they're colors that are uncomprehensible by the human eye, and they might be some type of like light being, for example, but we can't perceive the colors that they're giving off, so it just reflects back as like black to our eye, you know?
Sure. No, I mean, during these experiences, you begin to get a type of psychic sense where you're able to gain insight into the nature of your experience that seems to come from like a higher source. And so you're also able to pick up on other beings' energy, right? And so there are some experiences where they just radiate with this negative energy, and others, it wasn't the case at all. You know what I mean? So
kind of like people, some have good intentions, some have bad. You can't say that an entire race has all the same purpose and all the same intention, because you couldn't say that about people. So who's to say it about any other entity that exists in the universe?
Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, going farther in, what other types of like entities have you seen having these experiences, and what other types of like strange places have you experienced doing these, the lucid dreaming and astral projection?
Okay. One of my earlier experiences that stands out is an encounter I had with my deceased great grandmother. And so around this time, it may have been a few years into my practice, I started to understand the way these other realities work and how to navigate them. And it's almost like learning to walk, you know, because it's a totally different way to maneuver in these other dimensions. And so I learned that intention is everything. And I started to experience my intentions manifesting in my experience more and more. And then, you know, in the beginning, I didn't really have any clear goals or missions. I just left my body and just explored wherever I happened to go. I would go there. Whoever I happened to encounter, I would see them. But I wanted to kind of take things a step further in my practice. And so I started to, you know, set out to achieve goals, right? I made a list of goals. And one of my goals was to meet my deceased great-grandmother. And so I left my body and I stated this intention with all of my might and, you know, with confidence, with clarity. And the next thing I knew, I was flying through space and I was shooting past stars and planets. And I see this light in the distance. And as I approach this light, I realize it's my great grandmother. And, you know, we met and we communicated and it was an incredible experience. And it was one of the earliest experiences I had where I set an intention and the experience unfolded. Like I was pulled through space by a force. I didn't go out there intentionally. It was like something brought me there just through my intention. And so I realized this was a really great way, you know, to take my experiences to the next level and really, you know, start to learn and explore and, you know, make the most of this practice.
So I guess you could probably give me a little bit of logic on this one too. I had an experience that kind of reminded me of what you're saying with the like shooting through space experience. I used to do this thing. I don't know if other people do it or not. It's probably something other people do, but when I'm going to fall asleep, I'll plug in like a nightlight that's in my eyesight with my eyes closed. And the best way I can describe it is it almost reminds me of like leaving a light on in the back of the house where it can still make me aware of being in the dream while I'm in the dream. So this one particular time, I was walking around this house and then I walked in the bathroom. And then that was when I realized that like, hey, I'm in a dream. So I said, hey, I'm going to try to control this dream. And as I tried to control the dream, it went into overdrive and all the walls fell out of the bathroom. And I started getting pulled through space at a super high, fast rate. And for whatever reason, like flying through space, like terrifies me. So I'm like freaking out, trying to like throw myself awake. But like, say if you have experiences like that, if it's a connection to another frequency, another universe, could it have been that like I was going somewhere that I was supposed to go? Or do you think it's one of those things where sometimes if you try to control it and you aren't experienced controlling it, it's kind of just like, fuck you. And it takes control and, you know, it just goes into like hyperdrive.
Well, what I've learned, you know, through experience is that we're connected to what is called the higher self. And essentially the higher self is who we are at a higher level of consciousness. And this higher self can direct our experiences while we're out of body and in lucid dreams. And, you know, sometimes it will, you know, direct you and lead you to have a particular experience that you may not like intentionally want to have or, you know, intend to have. And so like in a case like that, yeah, it could be, you know, another aspect, a higher aspect of your consciousness, you know, who we are, who we understand ourselves to be as these individuals is just such a small aspect of who we truly are as spiritual entities. And so a lot of times this higher aspect of our consciousness can take control of these experiences and, you know, lead us to have an experience that, you know, it knows that we should have, and, you know, we're just not aware of that fact. And so, you know, you go with it and you see, you know, where it leads you.
So do you think that, like that method is something that works, or do you think that it's a method that isn't very like controlled in that aspect and that like it just needs a little bit more practice? Or do you think it was kind of like you were saying where it wouldn't have mattered the process in which I did it? It was just a matter of like my higher self trying to project a certain message.
Mm-hmm. You're referring to the method that you said.
Yeah, with the leaving a light on within my vision. like when I have my eyes mm-hmm. closed, I can still kind of see the light through my eyelids, kind of a thing.
So do you think that light triggered your lucidity in that dream?
That's how I've got it, because I've noticed for myself at least that I used to have a nightlight on the side of the bed, and every time I'd fall asleep that way, I would become aware of the fact that I was in the dream while I was dreaming. And then I noticed when I unplugged that light, it wasn't like that anymore. Like I said, it kind of reminded me of like leaving a light on in the back of the house. You know, like mm-hmm. you don't fully go to sleep. You're still paying attention subconsciously to that light. So like part of your mind still stays awake and makes it so that you can fall asleep, but still have your subconscious awake.
Okay, sure. Yeah, man, if it works, it works. You know, can't argue with that.
True. So you said that you had different like alien experiences and different things like that. Did you have these experiences at a younger age before you started doing all of this lucid dreaming? Or was it a thing where you did see these things at a younger age and then you continued to see them as you got farther into lucid dreaming?
Well, my direct experiences with entities that looked like aliens came a few years after I started astral projecting. And it was almost similar to my experiences with the shadow beings, because, you know, after a while I stopped encountering the shadow beings, but then these aliens started to come, and it was similar in the sense that I would leave my body and they would be there like waiting for me.
How would you physically describe them also, just so people kind of have like an idea of like what type of like alien type being you're talking about?
They looked a lot like the grays, the gray aliens, but they had light orange skin, and they looked a lot like the alien that's on the cover of Whitley Strieber's Communion, that book. Mm-hmm. Or if you've seen the movie Communion, they looked a lot like those aliens. And a lot of really weird, disturbing experiences with them over the years.
If you don't mind brushing over some of them, I'd love to hear them.
Sure. You know, what happens is that sometimes you will enter the astral projection. Your consciousness will enter the astral dimension before you actually separate from the body. So you'll essentially be laying in bed in a meditative state, and your consciousness will shift into the astral dimension while you're still occupying the same space as your body. And so what happens, and it's essentially sleep paralysis, right? Your body falls asleep, your consciousness shifts into a higher dimension, but you're not yet projected from the body, but you can see, you know, you gain sight, your eyes are closed, but your consciousness is now at a higher level, and you can see the room around you. You can see the dimension around you. And, you know, in sleep paralysis, you'll typically not really be projected into a higher dimension yet. And so I would enter this state and these aliens would be around me. Sometimes they'd be bent over, like looking at me directly in the face, like face to face, like a few inches from my face, like these big black eyes just right in my grill. And it was really frightening because, you know, from a young age, I always did have a fear of aliens. Just like watching movies about, you know, true stories of alien abductions. And I was always afraid of aliens. And so now, you know, all of a sudden they were here, and like, you know, they were essentially stalking me. And it was just crazy.
You think they were watching you almost to like see what you're capable of, almost like doing research on their end just to see, like, because I hear a lot of experiences with lucid dreaming and seeing alien type beings, and it makes me wonder if it's a matter of like they're always there and they're watching and observing people to see what their abilities might be and be like, oh, you can see me? Like, you know, so they kind of keep an eye on people that they find interesting that they think might have these types of abilities, you know?
Yeah, it is possible. And I, you know, I've had experiences that would indicate that this is the case. And, you know, the thing is, I never expected to encounter these aliens in my out-of-body experiences. I'd always thought they were, you know, physical beings, like they would come abduct me, maybe, but like they wouldn't be out of body. But there they were. And, you know, I came to understand that they operate in the astral dimensions. I don't know if like that's their home base, like maybe they're physical and they can project their consciousness there just like we do. But
it would make sense for them to be able to travel like far distances in such a short period of time if they found a method where they don't physically have to travel to these locations, you know?
Yeah,
and that would also
sure.
make sense why they disappear so fast, possibly too, when people do have sightings of them.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and they were just disturbing, like just the energy that they radiated was just sinister. And you know, sometimes I wouldn't expect to encounter them, but before even leaving my body, I would pick up this energy that they had, and it was just so disturbing. And then, you know, my sight will come and I would see like, it's them. And, you know, there are a lot of experiences that would indicate that, you know, these, it's not just like my own mind, my own subconscious kind of projecting this negativity onto them, but like it was really coming from them. And, you know, I picked up the sense that they were almost mechanical in a way, because their movements were almost robotic. Like sometimes they'd be looking at me and their heads would twitch, jerk from side to side in a way that's not like any kind of like biological entity, you know, like a robot with a glitch or something. And their movements in general were kind of stiff and just really disturbing, man. You know, this one time I shifted. I was basically in a state of sleep paralysis, but I shifted into a higher dimension. And there's this alien standing over me on my bed, and it reaches its hand and its arm into my mouth and into my throat. And I could feel it. And it wasn't my physical body. You know, like I said, when you enter the state, you're now basically in the astral dimension. So I was perceiving another dimension where it was reaching into my body through my mouth, and I felt it, and it felt just like my physical body. You know, it was my energy body, but really, really crazy stuff, man.
See, that that makes me wonder, like, when you astro project, do you still have like a connection to your physical body in the aspect of like if something happened to your physical body, like, you know, somebody like flicked you or something like that, would you also feel that in your astro body? Or is it like when your astro body leaves your physical body that your physical body doesn't feel like the same as your like projection body, if that makes any sense? Like does it transition into that other body still? Like you still have that connection?
Yes, yeah, for sure. Because really what happens is that your consciousness doesn't just leave the body, but it kind of like replicates itself. It kind of splits off into multiple dimensions of reality simultaneously. And so there will be an aspect of your consciousness still in the body, and there will also be aspects of your consciousness out in multiple dimensions at the same time. And, you know, I learned this mainly from having experiences where I had multiple perceptions of being in multiple levels of reality at the same time, and, you know, being able to switch back and forth between them. And so, yeah, what happens is, you know, an aspect of your consciousness picks up on something like closer to the physical dimension, but it, you know, it's all linked throughout your consciousness. And so you can also pick up on that sense perception in other levels of reality.
So like with that, would you like, are you physically seeing like one dimension, or are you like seeing physically like three different dimensions at the same time? Like as confusing as that sounds.
Yeah, it sounds confusing, and the experience is even more confusing. but yeah, in a way, yeah, it can be like that. And you know, sometimes it's a visual, sometimes it's more of a feeling, like energy. Like for example, in some experiences, I would be affected out in a higher dimension, my energy body. For example, I would be touched by an entity, and that sensation that would be caused, this energetic sensation, I would feel out there in that dimension, but then immediately my awareness would split to my physical body, and I would feel it there as well. I would feel both at the same time, and you know, you're able to distinguish the different levels in a way that's, it's hard to describe because there's really nothing like this that we experience just in the physical body.
So that's why I seem to relate a lot of these experiences to like psychedelics, is because it's things that are like undescribable by our modern language. But when you're in that state, they completely make sense.
Yeah, it's exactly like that, especially in the higher dimensions, for sure.
So another thing too that I was going to ask, you said that you saw multiple different types of beings. I hear a lot of people refer to these like mantis type beings as being like watcher type beings. Have you ever had experiences with mantis type looking beings?
One experience comes to mind. It was closer to the early days of my practice, and I was out in the astral dimension. I was just flying around exploring. And I was in a somewhat lower dimension. You know, it was dark. Typically, the lower dimensions are dark. Like, it's almost always night. And
kind of reminds me of the Upside Down or something from Stranger Things.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think there's actually like a lot of truth in that series. And so I was drawn to this one house in the distance. I was out just flying up in the sky, and I saw this house, and something just attracted me to it. And I went into this house, and I was just looking around. I wasn't sure why I was there, but just exploring. And the next thing I know, there was this alien right next to me, and its head looked like a mantis, like a big, like praying mantis head. And this was a really unusual experience, because it seemed like I experienced a period of missing time, because, you know, one moment this alien was right next to me, and the next moment it was gone, and I could tell like time had passed, and I couldn't remember what happened. And it was like this feeling, like, you know, something happened, but you just can't remember it. It's like something was like blocking me from that memory. But, you know, I got this like this disturbed feeling. And at that moment, I was like, things are getting really weird. And I actually started to feel like I was going to be like trapped in this reality, as weird as it sounded. Because honestly, you might hear this idea like, oh, what if you get stuck out of your body? Well, that couldn't be farther from the truth, because just the slightest thought of getting back into your body will cause you to re-enter your body immediately. The hard part is staying out of your body. And like, that's what you work on, like being able to stay out for longer and longer periods of time, because it's not easy. But in this case, it was like, oh, things got so real in this other reality that I started to almost forget my physical reality, and I got worried, and I was like, I got to get back. And yeah, that was one of my only experiences with like the mantis type of entity that I can remember. But you know, man, we have just in general, people have so many experiences in other levels of reality that we just don't remember, you know. Man, it's hard to say like how many times I've encountered entities like this, or you or anyone else, because, you know, like I said, so much goes on kind of behind the scenes of our conscious awareness. You know what I mean?
And I mean, they're like the watcher type too. So like, theoretically, they may not want you to see them. And if you do see them, it could almost be like a, for lack of a better term, like a Men in Black type scenario, where they might like ask you questions, try to figure out more things, because they're clearly here to observe for some reason. And then they kind of like blank your mind out after that so that you don't have a remembrance of them, but they still got the information that they possibly needed from you.
Right, right. True.
That's why these mantis beings seem so like elusive, and like people that do describe them, they're kind of like watching from a distance. And I've had a few people who've come on with different encounters, and they kind of say that like they've seen them before, and as soon as they get noticed, they like take off and disappear.
That's interesting, man. And you know, honestly, I haven't done a lot of research into entities like this. But what's interesting is that a lot of my experiences seem to coincide with other experiences that, you know, I later come to find were so similar to mine in many ways, you know. And it's not like, oh, I read these before and like that kind of colored my own experience. But it was like, you know, after the fact, I realized like it kind of, you know, adds a little validity to your own experiences when you realize other people have had very similar experiences.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like one of those things that a lot of people don't want to believe you because they don't know what information came out first, but theoretically, like, you wouldn't have a reason to look up that information unless you've had those experiences.
True.
So another one I was going to ask you about too. So hopefully this isn't too far out there for a lot of the listeners. I guess people listening to the show, they probably have heard me talk about this multiple times, but the whole like reptilian concept where people use it in multiple ways. One is that it uses like a term for just like cold-blooded people, for example, just, you know, just as like a descriptive word. Then there's the people that believe in like full-on like reptilians that are here in this physical plane in reality. And then there's kind of like the plane that I'm on, where a lot of people's descriptions of like when they see reptilians, it's like this like face changing type thing where they don't look like they're physically in this universe. So like my question is, with your experiences, have you seen any of these reptilian beings, and could they possibly be something from a higher dimension that knows how to, you know, say like control people or like temporarily like take over a vessel? And that's why people will have those like times where they'll say like people's faces change and things like that, is because it's something that's not actually in this physical reality, but it finds a way to like take control of things within this physical reality.
Right. Yeah. Well, I've never encountered an entity that looked like a reptilian, but if it's true that they're able to, you know, shapeshift and they exist in these higher dimensions, then, you know, I would imagine that at some point I had, you know, encountered one of them and I just didn't realize it was them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like I said, it's more of like a, I don't know if it's them necessarily like changing their look, or if it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, if there's two souls per se inside of a body, you know, the body might start to kind of like show traits of that second consciousness that's within that body. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Not a lot of experience with reptilians.
So just because I'm always fascinated with just different entities and things like that, what other types of entities have you seen having these experiences?
Well, maybe we can take a break from the negative entities. I've encountered angels, okay, entities that look like angels. You see it and you think this is an angel. And the thing is, like, when I started my practice, I wasn't religious. I didn't necessarily even believe in angels. It was like, they were just there, you know, and what can I say? And so,
was it like the biblical interpretation of like an angel, or was it like the light being interpretation, or was it the like crazy, uncomprehendable by people description of like an angel?
Yeah. Maybe like a combination between like a biblical appearance and like a light being. Some of them have been enormous, like hundreds of feet tall, and the power that radiates from them, is just so incredible. It's like, it's nothing that you can ever experience in, like, in this physical world. Like, nothing has this power. And yeah, I've seen them do some pretty crazy things, and not all of it I can really explain or understand. You know, a lot, most of the time, like, it's not like, oh, I want to see an angel. It's like, I'll be out in a higher dimension, and then suddenly, like, I'm face to face with one. And, you know, sometimes I'll have another intention, and then suddenly this angel will manifest. And it's kind of like my intention. It does manifest, but through this angel. But that wasn't my intention. Like, I didn't want to see this angel, but he kind of just appeared and allowed the experience to unfold.
Are these like light being angels, would you say, like, the highest end of the spectrum, or would you say they're like middle range of the spectrum, or like where would be like the farthest point that you know of as far as like beings in this dimensional spectrum?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to say. I mean, at the farthest, highest end of the spectrum, things get so abstract and so different. It's like,
how would you like describe
the idea of it? Okay, here's how I would describe it.
I guess best you can describe it, like putting it into words.
It's like every sense perception is multidimensional. It's so when you see something, it's not only a visual thing, but that visual perception also takes the form of emotions and sound and all these other levels of experience, and that happens with all the perceptions. You know, in some of the higher dimensions, there will be this beautiful heavenly music just radiating throughout the whole dimension, unlike any music you can ever hear here in the physical world. But you don't just hear this music. It's like you see it manifests as colors and emotions and so much more that you just can't really describe in words. You know what I mean? And so, like, these realities are all just like this abstract, multidimensional, like, conglomeration of these experiences that are just mind blowing, basically.
So, like, I've heard a lot of people talking about like DMT experiences and seeing these like entities that would create things out of like sound. Like, they would like talk, and like with their vibrational sound, they would like create things. Is it almost kind of like that in a sense, where like the vibrations are so intense that it almost like forms into something physical, kind of like you were describing with like the different colors and everything?
Yeah, that sounds pretty similar. Yeah. And I mean, like, in these really higher dimensions, like, some of the entities like are so immense that you can't actually see them because they're just so large. Like at times, like, I would kind of merge with these entities because, you know, their scale is just so big. It's like I'm in a city right now. I'm in a state. I'm in a country. It's like the entity is the country that I'm in. You know what I mean? Like, you can't see the country from where you're located, situated right now. And it's kind of like that.
Wow, that's crazy to think about, just fathoming something that large. But I mean, in the grand scheme of the universe, like, you know, we're tiny beings. So like, there could be farther end spectrums of the universe where like, that's the normal size. And, you know, we're like ants compared to them. And that's how they perceive us, you know?
Right.
So going into like the farthest dimensions, like, you yourself, what do you believe is like the absolute like farthest you've seen? And having seen that, did you, let's say, like, discover anything that you feel has like changed your life or altered anything in your life after experiencing those?
Yeah, definitely. I can't say there's just one particular experience, but, you know, in general, when I'm out in the highest dimensions that I've accessed so far, there are a few characteristics of these dimensions and of the experience. So like, there's a permeating state of bliss, right? It's this emotion. It's not just love, it's more than that, because there's also this connection that you experience with God and with like the universe, with all of creation, with all living entities, and you experience like your connection, this oneness, right? And what happens is that this becomes so intense, this experience, this feeling, this emotion, this connection, it becomes too intense for your conscious mind to hold on to, you know, and you know, to truly kind of grasp. And at times it feels like your identity is just like fracturing, like you're just like exploding.
And, is it almost like an ego death type situation?
Yeah, right. It is. And then there's a remembrance of like of who you truly are, as a spiritual entity. And we were talking about this before we started, how sometimes in these higher dimensions, like this physical world seems like a dream. Well, it's like that. It's like you realize like this is the true reality. Like this is my home and who I am back on Earth. Like that's a dream. That's an illusion compared to this. And yeah, it's life changing because it changes your whole perception of who you are and what reality is, and you know what your life is about, and other people. It changes how you see other people, and you know, just like this knowledge, it influences your beliefs and your thoughts. You know, in turn, those influence your actions. And so, you know, I think that you can really gain something beneficial from these experiences.
So, having had these experiences, like, what do you think is like the purpose of this dimension or this plane or this reality, like whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, I think it's just for learning, for growth, you know, spiritual development. What I've experienced in these higher dimensions is that, you know, I mentioned this permeating state of bliss, but out there, it doesn't really change. And so when you're in this constant state of bliss, there isn't much room for growth, for development. You know, you're just bathed in bliss, and you know, it's an incredible experience. But you know, down here, like in this world, it's where the real growth happens. And so we kind of temporarily forget who we truly are as these, you know, immense spiritual entities. And, you know, we come down here to basically gain new experiences and, you know, have new chances to grow and develop as spiritual beings.
So like that being said too, going into like the whole idea of like reincarnation, do you think it's a matter of with each like life, say you're supposed to climb to the next dimension, so the end game at the end of it is that maybe you would physically become one of these beings that are so big that, you know, you couldn't even like fathom how big they are. And if you fail at whatever you're supposed to do in each dimension, you just keep like restarting that dimension. You think that's kind of like where the whole idea of like reincarnation comes into, is like if you fail, you continue here, but if you succeed, then you kind of start building up the ladder and, you know, keep going to become an even more farther in dimensional being where you've learned your lessons, and then finally you can get to this state of like bliss and just happiness all the time, you know?
Yeah. I agree with part of that, the part being that, you know, as we develop and grow and learn and progress throughout, you know, throughout life and throughout these dimensions and realities, we do grow as spiritual entities. So like, you know, we will become like even more enormous, you know, beings, more powerful, you know, as we learn and grow. But from what I've discovered, reincarnation is not this linear cycle. It's not this loop where, you know, your body dies and then you're born in a new body and that one dies and it's this cycle. But when I have merged with my higher self, I've experienced firsthand my other incarnations. But these aren't this cyclical reincarnational type of cycle, but it's simultaneous. See, at the level of the higher self, in these higher dimensions, time is not really an influence. And so you experience all of this essentially simultaneously. And you experience the fact that it's not actually you as your current personality who is born into a new body, but it's an aspect of your consciousness on this higher level, which is the higher self. Our higher self is us, but at our truest, highest level of consciousness. But you and me, we're just probes, right? And so the higher self sends out all these different probes to have these different experiences at different, you know, moments of time throughout history. But these are all individual beings who, you know, we are connected with throughout the same consciousness at the highest level, but we're also separated from, in a sense, especially down here at this lower level. And so it's not a matter of, you know, being reborn, but it's a matter of having this life and then integrating our experiences and learning and growth back into our higher self, along with all the other probes, all the other incarnations together. And then from there, you know, once we've collectively, you know, gained what we wanted to gain, what we needed to learn from this level of reality, then it's a matter of, you know, progressing into a higher level.
So yeah, that makes sense. And then like my question would be, going off of like that whole theory and concept too, is it possible that like the shadow people we see could be like a link to the paranormal in the aspect of like that could be like a purgatory dimension in a sense where there are things that transition to the next level but like not fully to the next level, so they're like observing to learn in order to get to that next level?
Huh. I'm not sure, man. Purgatory is a interesting concept. I had this one experience, and I was with a guide, like a spirit guide, and the spirit guide was holding this big book. It was a giant book, and I saw the title of the book, and the title was A Guide to Purgatory, and that concept is interesting because I do think that the astral dimensions are a type of purgatory, especially the lower dimensions, because you will find people who have died who are kind of stuck in these lower afterlife dimensions, almost like a purgatory. They're attached to something from their life. They can't move on, or they're just stuck in this like this negative, you know, mind state, emotional state. And
so do you think you that know, might be like a dimension like under our dimension, because it's like a negative dimension, if that makes sense? Like they have to like correct themselves in that dimension to have a chance to be back in this dimension to again go farther?
Man, in my experience, the physical dimension is the base. So it's like the lowest. So like even the lowest non-physical dimensions are higher than the physical dimension, just based on the fact of the energy. You know the physical dimension is basically resonating with like the densest, slowest energy. And so when you're out in these lower negative realms, you know, astral dimensions, they are still higher than the physical. And you know, in the physical world, we have the good and the bad. There's kind of, you know, both sides of things. And so, you know, it's like that out in non-physical reality, in the astral dimensions, you know. you got the negative side, and then, you know, the positive as well.
Yeah, that definitely makes a little bit more sense, I guess, as far as like going into that method of thinking. So I guess my next question too, because, you know, people have been really interested in this concept. You have a book out about it, so I'd like to talk to about the book a little bit. I'd like to give the listeners just like a rough idea what the book's about, see if there's it's something they'd be interested in, and like what also inspired you to write the book.
Okay, for sure. Well, the majority of the book was already written before I actually wrote the book. And this is because the majority of the book consists of my experiences. And over the years of my practice, I kept journals of all of my experiences. And so, you know, I eventually decided, you know, I had experienced enough and learned enough that I was, you know, I was ready to share this with the world and, you know, help other people to do this. And so I selected some of my more profound experiences and other experiences that could serve as tools, you know, teaching tools in one way or another, you know, something that you could gain from each experience to kind of shed a little more insight into the nature of you know, these other realities and, you know, who we are and all that. And so, you know, the book is basically organized in a chronological fashion. So you see how I start and how I progress throughout the years. And along the way, I also explain, you know, the methods, the techniques that I used, that I tried, that I developed over the years. And you see how that develops and progresses. And, you know, in that sense, you can begin to practice this yourself, you know, have your own experiences. And, you know, I also provide kind of like afterthoughts after each experience, you know, from the perspective of having had these experiences for over 20 years and looking back, you know, so like my first experience, you know, something happened. And at that time, I didn't necessarily understand everything about it. But now looking back, like, I know, like, oh, this is why that happened. This is what happened. And so I also bring, you know, that insight to all the experiences. So yeah, I you know, in the very least, you'll read some really, really interesting, crazy experiences. And, you know, at the most, you can, you know, put it to practice and start your own practice and, you know, have your own experiences.
For anybody that has never tried to astral project, lucid dream, anything like that before, what do you feel is like the absolute best like beginner method of somebody who just wants to try it to kind of like get an idea of like what they're doing before they start getting into like the more advanced methods?
Yeah. I would say the early morning technique that I described in the beginning is one of the best. You know, it worked for me right away. You know, like I said, the first method that I used, it took a little less than a week for me to get, but this early morning method, it was basically instantly, like the first time I tried it, I was able to do it. And it takes a lot less time too. In the book, I call it the wake back to bed method. And, you know, you can also find this online. There are different variations. What I explain in the book is my own particular variation, you know. And, you know, like I said, that includes the subconscious programming, affirmations, the third eye meditation, which, you know, I think without doing those parts of the method, it probably won't be as effective, although it could still work. But, you know, over the years, it just gets easier and easier, and you learn to catch yourself in this ideal state to project from the body even faster. So, you know, nowadays I can wake up and be out of my body in a matter of seconds, whereas before I'd have to go through this process where I would get up for an hour, you know, go back to bed and all this. So yeah, you'll see that progression over time. I think the most important thing though is not just the method, but it's your mindset going into it. Because, you know, I've worked with a lot of people over the years trying to help them with their own practice. And, you know, I notice certain issues that these people have. Confidence, right? You need to be confident in your ability to do this, right? If you have some kind of doubt, that's going to hold you back. You know, you need to be motivated, and you also need to be dedicated, right? You need to be consistent in your practice. You know, I've spoken with people over the years who just don't put enough time into it. You know, maybe once a week, they'll give it a shot, twice a week. Well, you know, when I was doing it every day, sometimes multiple times a day. And, you know, so you need that element in there. And, yeah, just those factors put together, you know, apply to anything, not just this, but, you know, sports, you know, academics, whatever, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, definitely. So, I guess before we start wrapping up, this is possibly kind of out there question, but just something I'm very curious about. So going into like the Bigfoot, a lot of like the different cryptid concepts, people are starting to kind of believe that they might be like interdimensional beings, or that they have this ability to like transition between dimensions. So having your experiences, have you ever seen anything that, you know, is like Bigfoot like, or any like particular cryptid or anything like that?
No, I can't say that I have, other than, you know, in sleep paralysis or, you know, in these other dimensions, but here in this physical dimension, not really that I can remember. You know, I mean, here's the thing. I've had experiences, where sometimes, I'm not exactly sure where it happened. Like sometimes I'll remember something that it really seemed like it happened here in this world, like in my room. And, you know, I'm not sure if it was sleep paralysis or if I was out of my body. But, you know, Bigfoot and cryptids, not so much, you know, I believe these things probably exist, but I don't have any personal encounters with them.
Yeah, I've always kind of personally seen them as more of like a physical thing, the more I kind of go into it rather than interdimensional. But, you know, just for the sake of asking if people are lucid dreaming, to see if they, you know, I've ever in a way had like a flyby with these types of beings, like that it could kind of further the idea that they may or may not be interdimensional. So I just figured I'd ask.
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, for an entity to be interdimensional like that, to be able to shift between the physical dimension and non-physical reality, it would require like such an enormous degree of like development. And I don't think these types of entities, the cryptids, are there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of, like I said, I kind of take them as like more of a physical thing for the most part, but the Bigfoot one is the one that kind of makes me question it a little bit, just because, you know, they theoretically could have been around since the beginning of time, so like who knows how far advanced they may or may not be, considering we wouldn't have like hands-on physical interaction with them, even if they're smart enough to know that like humans equal danger, so they just stay the hell away from people.
Right, yeah, who knows, man.
But
possible.
I always like to wrap up the show before I get to, you know, where everybody can find you, find your book, with words of wisdom from the guest to the listener. So if there's anything that you could bestow on the listeners, what would it be?
Well, I think it would be what I've gained from my experiences, you know, astral projecting, lucid dreaming, higher states of consciousness, which is, you know, who we are is so much more than just these physical bodies and, you know, this brain and, you know, these thoughts that we have and these beliefs. We are so much more vast and powerful, you know, entities. Our consciousness exists in these higher dimensions, whether you realize it or not. Even if you don't have these experiences, there are higher aspects of you, of who you are, that exist in these higher spiritual realities. And so, you know, by doing these practices, astral projection and all that, you can actually, you know, access these higher levels of yourself and, you know, learn through firsthand experience, you know, who you truly are and what this reality really is about. And it can be really transformational stuff. So, yeah, you know, I would recommend looking into it, maybe picking up my book or, you know, other books on the subject. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
So if anybody enjoyed this conversation, they want to come find the book, anything that you want to add in at the end for links, where would they find you? Where would they find your book?
Yeah, just head over to Amazon.com. You know, the book is called Astral Projection and Lucid Dreaming, Spiritual Revelations and Out-of-Body Experiences in Higher Dimensions. My name is Vincent Field. And, you know, you can find the book in paperback, Kindle, audiobook, you know, whatever your preferred format is. You know, just do it up. We got you covered.
Awesome. I really appreciate you making the time to come on the show today, and I'm sure I'll probably have you on in the future because there's a lot more stuff we could talk about. But thanks for taking the time to come on the show today, man.
Definitely, man. I appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And all the listeners that are still around, I hope you enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.